tragic how the church has lost the art of praise over the years, isn't it? Hundreds of years, and the church has forgotten how to praise God. No more, bless the Lord. Romans chapter 8. Before we begin to share this scripture, let's pray, okay? And you just join your faith with mine that God will speak to us out of the Word tonight. Father, we love you and we thank you for your Word. We love the way that your Word is working mightily in us. Father, we acknowledge tonight that your Word is working in us in ways that we don't even realize. The depth and the fullness and the magnitude of what you're doing in us by your Word, we don't even conceive yet. We haven't perceived but only a small portion of what you're doing in us by the mighty working of your Word. We thank you, Father, that the Word in us is prevailing. It's prevailing against everything that would exalt itself against the truth and against the knowledge of God. We thank you, Father, that your Word cannot be bound, and that when we allow your Word to come inside us, that no devil, nor no man, nor no tradition, nor no doctrine can bind it. But it's free to guide us and to lead us, to instruct us, to teach us, and to inspire us. We know, Lord, that it's the power of your Word working in us that is effecting this wonderful change. We thank you for it, Father. We want you to know that we receive all of that with grateful hearts in Jesus' name. We thank you that your Word is working mightily in us. And we desire, Father, tonight to have an added measure of that working. We pray, Father, for an added revelation tonight. Show us something out of your Word that will profit us tonight, that we might allow that Word to work in us with less and less hindrance every day. And speak to us tonight, Father, out of this precious, holy Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Every day I'm more and more struck with the tremendous privilege that we have here to study His Word and to have it proclaimed and to have it shared without any hindrance, and also to have it ministered one to another. You know, we get a lot of Word just talking with one another, don't we? Not only what comes from the pulpit, but just talking and sharing with one another. You know that the Word is so interspersed in your language. It's become such a part of you. You remember how it used to be that your language was full of four-letter words? And they weren't L-O-V-E. But now, since God's Spirit dwells in you in His fullness, and since you're sitting under the Word and studying the Word on your own, what is your language interspersed with? Not four-letter words any longer, but this Word, this life-giving Holy Word. Do you notice the difference? Just looking back on your life, can you tell the difference? You think according to the Scripture. You act according to the Scripture. You talk according to the Scripture. And you do according to the Scripture, even unconsciously. It just becomes part of you. That's what Jesus meant when He said, "The words I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life." It's not just a book that you read. It's something that you take inside you, and it becomes part of you, actually part of you. All right, let's look at Romans 8, the first few verses there. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, the verse that seems to be drawing my attention tonight is the second verse. And could I ask you please just to read it aloud with me, just the second verse. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That's good news. If you understand what that means, it's good news. Paul said that in this world there's a law at work, and he labeled it the law of sin and death. When you and I were born physically, when we came into the world, we came in subject to the law of sin and death. We came in sin. You've heard me say from time to time, and quoting the Psalms and quoting 1 John, and while we're thinking about that, let me give you another verse out of the book of Genesis, which is kind of an interesting one, to indicate that it's in Genesis 8:21. What condition a man is born in. And if he doesn't do anything about it, he stays in it. Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Do you mean an innocent child has evil imaginations in his heart? Yes, I do. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. I was born in sin. I was born under the law of sin and death. Since I was a descendant of Adam, since I was born with his inheritance and his nature, I was born a sinner. I was born opposed to God. I was born at enmity or at odds with God, and the law of sin was operating in me. Now, why does Paul call it a law? The law of sin and death. Because a law, you see, is something that always works. When we say the law of gravity, we call it a law. Why? Because every time you drop something, it always falls. You ever see it go up? How many of you expect this to go up when I let go of it? You don't, do you? Because the law of gravity always works, and it says when you drop something that it will fall. When you let loose of it, it's going to fall. The law of sin and death is exactly the same way. When you are born, you are born to sin. And if you stay in that state, you will ultimately die. You're already in that state, the state of sin and death. It's a law. Well, aren't there some children born that aren't like that? No. A man's heart is evil in its imagination from its youth up. Until it is changed, that law of sin will operate in you and produce death in you until such day as that law is superseded by a higher one, by a stronger one. That's what Paul is telling us here, that the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ is stronger than the law of sin and death. That there is a law that is stronger than the law of sin. There's one that's higher than the law of sin that produces death. You don't have to stay like that if you don't want to. Because Jesus Christ ushered in a new law which is stronger and higher, that when it is put into effect, it sets us free from the law of sin and death. Now we use the handkerchief again. That handkerchief will drop to the ground every time I let loose of it unless I interfere with a stronger law. Do you see that? Every time I drop this handkerchief, it will drop to the ground unless I interdict it with something stronger and more powerful. That's what Jesus Christ did when he came. He broke the power of sin. He broke the law of death by giving us a higher, stronger, more powerful law. And Paul said that that law is the law of the Spirit of life. And it's in Christ Jesus. And the way you break the power of sin in your life is not trying to live better. There are a lot of people trying to live better that are going straight to hell. Good living won't get you to heaven, you know that. Isaiah said that your righteousness is like filthy rags. Your good living and your good deeds is like filthy rags in the sight of God. It's of no value because the law of sin is still working in you and it will produce death. Every person born into this world, with the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ, is under the death sentence. But he doesn't need to die. The good news is that every man bound by the law of sin and death can break the power of that thing over him by receiving Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. It's that simple. When we receive Jesus, that law of sin and death is broken. And we come under a newer law, a higher law, a better law, the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Now that law has some very strange and different aspects to it. Turn with me over to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 14. Before we do that, let's look at 1 Corinthians 2. You're right in the neighborhood, so let's stop off there at 1 Corinthians 2. Verse number 14. But the natural man, that is the man who is still under the law of sin and death, the natural man, the one that is born in a natural way, the one that has not been reborn of the Spirit. Jesus Christ said, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. He's a natural man. He's born of natural means. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Paul says that there are some aspects to this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that the natural man is going to reject as foolishness. There are some very strange subsections in this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And unless they be looked upon with spiritual eyes, they cannot be understood, they cannot be perceived nor received. They will look like foolishness. The very first one is back a page in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's stop over there too. First Corinthians 1, verse 17. Paul said these words in writing to the Corinthian church, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." In other words, he did not send me with fancy preaching. He didn't send me with skillful words. He sent me to preach the gospel, not with wise words that would delight men, that would tickle men's ears, so that everybody would leave this, "Oh, fantastic preacher. Oh, what a wonderful sermon that man. Did you hear how he dots his I's and crosses his T's? Did you see how nice he did? Isn't he an outstanding preacher?" Paul says, that's not the way God sent me. He didn't send me with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be of no effect, lest people should not see the truth. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, what's he saying? He says that if you are still under the law of sin and death, when you hear about the cross of Jesus Christ, that a man came and he died on a cross, he was hung up with a nail to an old wooden tree, and that because that happened, you can be saved and delivered. If you're still under the law of sin, that'll be foolishness to you and you will laugh at it. Now, the multitude millions in our world today who have already laughed at the cross of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, those who have ridiculed the cross of Christ, unless they change their mind, unless they change their heart, are going to laugh all the way into a fiery pit. And there will be no more laughter there. Jesus said that there is everlasting torment, weeping and gnashing of teeth, total and absolute darkness. I don't know about you, but I can't laugh about that. That's not funny. Paul said, but to us who believe, the cross of Christ is the power of God. It's the power. It's the place where God took this law of sin and hung it on the tree and broke it so that it will not bring you or me under its dominion again. And that every other man who desires to do so may escape the law of sin, which results in death, and he might receive life in Christ Jesus. All right, let's go on with our little trip over here to 1 Corinthians 14. There are some other aspects about this law that are rather strange, rather different. They are not perceived with the natural mind. Those that desire to remain bound by the law of sin will not receive these rather curious sections. Verse number 14 and 15. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Paul says that one of the subsections in this law of the Spirit of life is that people who have walked into this relationship with Christ and received the full benefits of it will speak in strange languages. They will pray in tongues and in languages that they've never heard before, as well as in their own understanding. Now, that is really a screwy aspect, isn't it, to this new law? But it is the very thing in which is the power. It's the very thing, you see, that allows this spirit of life in Christ Jesus to take two frightened young women over to Alabama to pray for a lady who is bound. It's the power of God working in them, you see. But it sure is a strange aspect of the law, isn't it? Now, how about this one over in Ephesians? Go over to Ephesians chapter 5. Remember now, this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. It set us free from the penalty of sin. It set us free from hell. It set us free from confusion. It set us free from doubt. It set us free from sickness. It has set us free from infirmity. It has set us free from depression. It has set us free from bad habits. It has set us completely and totally and absolutely free from fear in all of its manifestations. You know that fear is one of the aspects of the law of sin. But love is that which belongs to the law of the Spirit of life. Ephesians chapter 5, another comparison of this law. Verse number 17 and following. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now we should understand that what's to follow here would be part of God's laws, God's plan, God's will. I want you to understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk, wherein is excess. Now that part, you see, goes under the law of sin and death. But be ye filled with the Spirit. That part goes under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Don't be drunk with wine. It's not necessary to get your high on booze. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't want anybody to think they're going to go to hell because they drink or have drunk. Because you won't. You only go to hell for rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you also to not be confused about this. Because you don't drink does not produce you a bona fide ticket for glory. There's only one way. Jesus didn't say abstinence is the way. He said, I am the way. I am the way. And I think I can say to you with some assurance that if you are operating in the life, life of the Spirit, you have received the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, alcohol will offend you. It should offend you. It should bother you. If it doesn't yet, my prayer is that it will. Maybe I should share this with you. I used to be a social drinker, and sometimes I get pretty social. And some of you know what that means. I would be quite embarrassed to have some of you see me in some of my more social moments. But when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior and invited the Spirit of God to possess me totally, I just had no desire for it anymore. It just left me, just gone. But one night I took a group of businessmen out for dinner. And we had gone down to a restaurant down in downtown Atlanta. And a number of those fellows were social drinkers as well. And as we had dinner, the girl came, and as they always do, cocktail, sir? Can I get you something from the bar, sir? And I thought I wouldn't be too weird, and so I ordered a glass of wine. And we had a nice dinner. Everybody else had a few drinks, as it was their custom. And when I got home, I went to bed, had the worst headache I'd had in years. One stupid little glass of wine. I mean, it was a little glass. And I had this most awful headache. And as I was laying there, I said to Lois, I said, I don't know what's the matter with me. I got this crazy headache. And then it just jumped out of my mouth. You don't suppose it could have been that glass of wine? And the Lord just spoke to her and I at the same time. It's exactly what it was. And what he was showing me was that the wine did not edify. He didn't condemn me for drinking it, but it affected my witness. Those with whom I was eating that night, you see, knew me as a Christian. I had declared myself for Jesus Christ. But here I was participating in one of the subsections of the law of sin and death. And it confused them. The Lord said through the Apostle Paul that you cannot sit and eat at the table of God and also at the table of devils. You must choose to sit at one or the other. I praise God for that lesson. Now, I wouldn't condemn anybody else for having a glass of wine or something else. But my prayer is that every time you do it, you will get a splitting headache. Or that you be so nauseous that you'll toss your cookies in some embarrassing place. I'm as serious as I can be. Because it doesn't edify. You know, Paul said, everything's lawful for me. He said, I can do anything I want. Everything's lawful for me, but it is not all beneficial. It's not all beneficial. I can do anything, but everything doesn't edify. And I can say to you tonight that if I wanted to have a glass of wine tonight, I could go out and have a glass of wine. I'm glad I don't want one. And God wouldn't condemn my soul to an eternal fiery hell because I did. But I sure would be stupid after he's spoken to me so clearly. Don't you think? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when you're operating, you see, in the neighborhood where the law of sin reigns supreme, when you're operating in that part of the world where the devil is God and where the law of sin, his law, is functioning, and the majority of the people are under that law, the temptation will be to take wine. You see, that's part of it. But when you are operating in the area governed by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, your desire will be not to be filled with wine, but to be filled with the Spirit. Now, you do some pretty strange things being filled with the Spirit. You'll sing in a strange tongue. The people that are not under your law but are still under the law of sin will think you're crazy. Some may even say you're drunk, like they did on the day of Pentecost. Praise God, you are. Drunk in the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is a strange law to the world. The world doesn't understand it. When you begin to share it with worldly people, with people who are still operating under the old law, they don't understand what you're saying. But they will watch your manner of life. They will watch the life that is in you. And if you allow the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life, to have His full free sway in you, if you will allow that law to operate in you with liberty and with freedom, if you won't fight against it, if you'll go on and pray in the Spirit and pray in your understanding, if you'll go on and sing in the Spirit and sing in your own understanding, if you'll go on and rejoice in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you'll believe this wonderful word that God's preserved for us, if you'll let that life live in you freely and without restriction and hindrance, those that are still operating under the law of sin and death will begin to hunger and thirst for what you have. Jesus said that ye are the salt of the earth. What happens when you eat salt? You get what? You get thirsty. You get thirsty when you eat salt. You get thirsty. Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you knew who I was, you'd ask of me and I would give you living water. But you'd never thirst again. And the one thing that will make people thirsty, that will cause them to be thirsty, is for you to walk in the fullness of this law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. It's a wonderful, liberating, beautiful law. I hear people say from time to time, I don't want to be under any law. Well, I feel badly about people that don't want to be under any law. I want to be under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, because there's freedom in that kind of a law. How many of you have dogs? Okay. If you have a dog which is unruly, disobedient, a strayer, and a wanderer, what do you do with that dog? You tie him up, don't you? Or you build a fence around the yard to keep him under control. But suppose your dog is an obedient dog, and when you let him out, he doesn't leave the yard. He stays around. Can you just let him out, let him go where he wants to go? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is like that. When we receive that law, that higher law, the bounds and the bonds that used to bind us under the old law are now broken. And we are free to be what God wants us to be. We are free to live the way God wants us to live. I'm glad I live under the law of the Spirit of life, aren't you? There's liberty and there's freedom in it. I've never been so free in all my life. I can do anything I want to. Just love those old things I don't want to do anymore. Praise God. Paul says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. There is liberty and freedom in serving the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have so carefully prepared everything for us. We thank you that you have very carefully ordained laws for our good. We thank you, Father, that peace and joy, power in the cross, liberty in the Spirit, right standing with you are part of this new law that we're now under. We pray tonight, Father, for those that are still bound by the law of sin and death, especially for those that don't realize they're bound. We pray tonight, Father, for men and women in this auditorium, perhaps, and also beyond these walls, who do not know their spiritual condition, do not know that they're bound, don't know that they are in slavery to the devil, do not know that they are forever bound unto death unless they take Jesus and his higher law into their life. We pray, our Father, that your Spirit, the one that Jesus said would come, who would convict the world of righteousness, we pray, Father, that your Spirit would do that very thing that Jesus said he would do and convict the world, every person in it, Lord, bound by the law of sin and death, and bring the conviction, Father, of unrighteousness upon them that they believe not in the Lord Jesus. We desire, Father, the liberation of this entire planet. We desire, Father, the setting free of every man and woman, every boy and girl, this world over. Beginning, our Father, with everyone who's within the sound of my voice tonight. Father, hearts are heavy when we know what is available and what can be had, and that there are those who, for one reason or another, do not choose to accept your free offer. We want to thank you tonight, our Father, that you've made it so simple. You've made it so easy, so absolutely simple that even a child could understand it. You said that he that believeth on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. The children sang tonight, "Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. And if any man will open the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him and he with me." The pure, simple gospel message in the song. We pray tonight, Father, for those on whose heart's door you're knocking. And we ask our Father, by the power of your Spirit, to cause those doors to be opened. Remind those individuals, Father, that you will not crash the door down, nor will you or can you open it from the outside, but that it must be opened from within. And that if our hearts are truly open to the Lord, that we need only say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I invite you in. I invite you to be my Savior and to be the Lord of my life. Lord, set me free from this law of sin which results in death. Give unto me, bring me unto this new law of the Spirit, which produces life, and life abundantly. We know, Father, that none of these things are done apart from your Spirit. And our prayer, Father, is that your Spirit would do that very thing that Jesus promised he would. We're in no hurry, Father. You take whatever time you need. Yota mohokere shotan koma na takari hafurobusha. Yento manakurianto feramo shanko hita mona. Embota vino bonda karehe tru fira korite buye. Yote mohotin kareche funa buye conto mona. Ainde mona kariancha fure baye ke debuta. Ndo impando firango shanda. Yanko mianto fira hoshakati. De homanakori ye hotiba hofata. Shuhafi, ye hobatu, ye ton kerin de vudibai, ye tomiha shuyakabuta, doyam vonabaku faranjandi, ye hondaba, ye hokiatu varandovi, ye shumohoki, ye hotamahaka, e shufanake, ye hotimake, ye shofi, ye hokamahandi, ye hondaba hokiantofera, Doyamoko, ye fondakun shebato, ye tomahaki, ye tomvahon shai boya kontoma, en shafato manda ke yete. If you have something from God, you speak it out. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for your invitation We know, Father, that you don't play games with the children of men. We know that you're not fooling around with people's lives. We know that you mean business, and we know that you mean to bless and to minister. We thank you for your free invitation, Father, to come and to turn unto you and to be set free. Shua kapuhutabai. Ndomohokere shofarati. Yehote mahaki. Yehofita mohosha. Shua vahundi bakando. Yehonti. Yehokiato bahasha. Shufahati. Yehoka bahatando. Yetovara. Ikamvo shematunda de kiantofia. Yepufita. Yokambo de shantoki. Yetua kaboshia. Shea mohokia. Yando vina bahasho. Shandoma nakedi te boyata. De hofi, do yabafo shandonda de carianto fi, ye pufi shonga, ye homa, ikando viando bahashota, ye hombado coria, ye honda bokoshi kitemonda, de hofinaco, ye hombaton vi, ye shumfanaco I domahake doma. Yando fino boshake hite nota. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we receive that promise. We receive that encouragement, Lord. We receive that instruction. We receive that assurance, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I take that for myself personally, Father, as well as for the church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And each of you should too. Take it for yourselves personally. You just take it. Take it with your mouth. I receive it, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. See, the devil's not going to be able to rob us anymore. Hallelujah. we're getting too much knowledge. God's given us too much revelation, and we're seeing out of here what belongs to us, and the enemy's not going to be able to steal it from us anymore. He's not going to be able to take it. Glory to God. You shall know the truth. Hallelujah. And the truth shall make you free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Bless your holy name, Jesus. Bless your holy name, Jesus. We magnify you, Lord. We exalt you. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt your name above every name. We exalt your name, Jesus, above every name. We know that it may be foolishness to some, but that doesn't matter to us. We know better. We've had our minds renewed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We bless you, Father. We praise the mighty name of Jesus. We glorify that name. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father.
Children, that the Spirit of the Lord is on the Word of God, and His Word has been exalted above His name, and the promise is in it. You can stand on it. You can stake your life on my Word. Stand on it and offer praises to me and claim your healing, for I am God and I will heal you.
Fato, God.
Yuda mohokera shumvina bukantibuta. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We act upon your word, Father, by receiving what you've promised. We take it into us, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. My word is like pure spring water. Wherever my word flows, it's like pure water flowing. As my word comes into you, life springs up. As my word proceeds from you, life follows behind it. Wherever my word is proclaimed, life will follow behind thereof, saith the Lord. My word is like pure, clean water. It sustains as well as creates life, saith the Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. This scripture keeps coming to me as we're sharing out of the Proverbs, as the Lord speaking to us supernaturally. Out of Proverbs, I believe it's chapter 4 it is. Chapter 4 of the book of Proverbs. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Listen to that. Let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. The life is in the word. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom, which is the word, is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. This is the key verse here. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Exalt and promote the word, in other words, and she shall exalt and promote you. Amen? It's the word. That's what God wants us to do, is know the word and declare the word so that he, the anointing which is on the word, will bless and minister to other people. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I know that, you know, this is a healthy people. This really is a healthy flock. And you know why it's healthy? Because it's fat on the Word. It's fat on the Word. And it'll stay that way as long as we continue to eat the Word in big doses. Praise God. That's one way you can stay fat. There's no diet of the Word.